Do you know the story of Zach and Liz? Elizabeth and Zacharias?
Yep.
Are you familiar with that story? They're John the Baptist's parents. And we're going to study them this morning. I titled this sermon, Hope in Despair, Waiting for the Promise. It's kind of a Christmas message because it's Christmas characters, but it's really a message I really believe the Lord wants us to hear. And we are, from the testimonies, experiencing what it is God wants us to hear. And I want to encourage you in your faith and your journey to keep persevering, because I hear exactly what they're going through in your lives. I hear it out of your mouths. And it's interesting to walk the journey of faith. We ourselves walk, but just to walk with you guys and each other and hear your faith journey. And let me start by reading in Luke chapter 1 in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the law. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it came about, while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Wow. Poor Zach. Wrong answer. Yeah, wrong question. How not to respond when you see an angel. So I've broken this up in three titles, very simple titles: Why, Wow, and Wonder. I'm going to try to make it really easy for us. So I'm trying to put myself in Zach and Elizabeth's, or Liz's, shoes here. I think the stories in the Bible are our stories also. They very parallel our lives and what we go through in life. And we're told in several places that Zach and Liz are older, past the age of childbearing, and they have no child. You've probably heard all this before, but they're a really special couple, right? So they have pedigree.
Yeah.
This is how we work, right? We ask God why. How many have asked God why? Why me? Why am I going through this? It's very common. I hear it all the time from people. And I usually get upset with that, but I realize it's a normal response to what's going on in our lives. Why do I have to go through this, right? And so we have all these lists of reasons why this should be happening to us.
Right.
Number one, we're pedigree. We're special. They have this incredible pedigree that they are from the line of Aaron, the royal priesthood. And if you trace Abijah back to through the Bible, you find he's chosen by King David to look after the temple. Well, that just before that, he's chosen as one of the special priests involved in all the temple worship duties. Although the temple wasn't built yet, he's in charge of looking after all the duties. Okay, and so they're both from the line of Aaron. They're priests. They're that priestly line appointed by King David And Liz also was from Aaron's line. We're told right there of the Aaron's line. Pretty big deal. Okay? That's who they are. We're special people. We got the name behind us. We got the job title. We got it all. Okay? If anybody should be close to the Lord, it's these guys. And performance. They're doing everything right. Okay? It says of them, verse 6, they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commands and requirements of the Lord. Blameless. Obedient. They're a really good, holy couple. Okay? And it says of Zach, he served faithfully. He was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office. He's in that rotation of the thousands of priests who are going to the temple and doing their duty when their number comes up. And specifically, this time, at this time of year, once in a lifetime, a priest would get the opportunity to burn the morning incense. So he goes in the priestly office. He was chosen by lot. He's chosen. Especially, they waited, you know, thousands of days, right, several years to go in and do this one task. And it's his time. Okay? So he's serving faithfully. And verse 13 says, they prayed. Your petition has been heard. So they're like this power couple. Okay? And they're doing everything right. They're just living the dream of serving the Lord. Okay? However, they have one issue.
No child.
Right. Now, you know, you've heard it before. I find it amazing. But there's a stigma on them. Okay? People are murmuring. It actually says that in verse 36. It says, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived her own, and she who was called barren, now in her sixth month. She was called barren. That jumped off the page at me. Who called her barren? People called her barren. Yep. When they saw Liz, they said, hey, there's barren Liz. What a way to live your life. This stigma on her. She can't have children. They're old age. They're past the age of bearing children. And they got this mark on them. You know, it's really significant in that day and age. And Jews, they believed in retribution, that if you wouldn't have a blessing of God, you must be doing something wrong. Maybe that's why they were so diligently pursuing holiness and blamelessness before the Lord, so they can receive his blessing. Right? I mean, you just got to read this text and say, wow, this is a couple that is really experiencing for who knows why. Who knows why we're going through this? We're doing everything right, but people are, they look at us and they say, they don't have kids. They must be doing something wrong. Years and years. 60. You know, back then they had kids young. Now some say they were 60 years old.
Wow.
Okay, that is a little past the age of bearing children.
Yes.
A little bit. So, and then it says in verse 25, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me. Take away my disgrace. They were disgraced. They were ashamed. They knew that people were judging them. It says in verse 14, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, implying there's no joy and gladness now in your life. How can there be? People are judging you all the time, right? And so you get this picture of this couple who are really distraught, even though they're doing everything right. Does that sound familiar? Are you there? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Like, God, what's going on? How come I'm not seeing what I want to see? How come the prayers aren't being answered? How come the promises aren't being fulfilled yet? Right? And you get down on yourself, you beat yourself up, and it doesn't help that people say stupid things to you. That just kind of keep you in that place, right? But it's true. But we have a God who hears prayer.
Amen.
Amen? And so they have their whys. But now they get their wow moment. So Zach is in the temple, and he's serving the Lord, and he's doing his thing. And what happens? An angel of the Lord shows up. An angel shows up. In the middle of his despair, heaven comes down,
right,
intervenes, breaks into your world, and your miserable, humdrum life takes a turn. Okay? and is discouraged, may be lifted momentarily. Wow. Even though fear is there, it's like, who am I that God would visit me, right? And so you start to get lifted up. It's a wow moment. It's a wow moment. Elizabeth has her wow moments too. Mm-hmm. However, the wow moment, friends, listen, this is life, right? Life is tough, and we go from glory to glory, and sometimes in those wow moments, when we really experience God, we have a great worship service, and we go and God just speaks to us, and we're down in our quiet time reading the Bible or listening to worship music, and you just sense like God is in the room, right? And something happens. All of a sudden in that moment, you realize you're not who you should be. Your wow moment reveals something about you.
Yes.
To me, that's a wow moment, right? Because the goal of the Christian life is not to live on the mountaintop. The goal of the Christian life, if you read your Bible, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. In order to do that, he's got to reveal stuff in your life.
Yeah.
So here's what I saw. Great God heard your prayer, verse 13. He heard your requests. He said joy will be restored, verse 14. Mm-hmm. And he even says, this is really remarkable, you will have joy and gladness. And the word glad is like an exuberant joy. It's joy beyond joy. It's coming, okay? It's a promise, it's coming. Your son, he's gonna be some extraordinary dude. He's gonna accomplish great things. He's gonna, look what it says of him. He's gonna turn back the sons of Israel to the Lord. He's gonna go as a forerunner before him, the Lord, in the power of Elijah. He's gonna turn back the father's heart to the children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. Wow, this guy's gonna be used to do incredible things. But when the angel shows up and says these great things, this is his response. How shall I know this for certain? Literally, this is his heart. I need a sign. You got to show me a little more. I mean, it's great that you showed up. You know, I don't know, it doesn't happen every day that an angel shows up while you're working, does it? This is pretty stupendous, pretty incredible. It should be enough for Zach, but really he's saying, can you give me something else? How shall I know for certain? Zach, okay, I saw some issues with Zach. And this is when the wow moment comes into a revelation moment. Okay, in that moment, when you realize you said the wrong thing, when the presence of God shows up, okay? Maybe his life was just about ritual and religion, okay? Maybe he's just going through the motions. Maybe he's waiting so long for that, pick me up, come on, I want to light the incense, come on, it's in my turn yet. And it's all about him, okay? Think about it. I don't think this is far off the story. I think this is what's going on. There's something, he got really discouraged waiting for a child. When you're past the age, I'm not talking, 40, we're talking possibly 60. He's really old. Like giving up on the dream, right?
Easy.
I'm 60. No. I don't want kids.
Thank you, Mike.
You don't want kids either. Listen, grandkids, great. Send them home. Back to their parents.
Twice blessed.
That's right. Okay, it's a different stage of life.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know how Paul does it, keeping up to math. That's anointing from God or something.
Amen.
Anyway, he's 62 with a 2-year-old. I digress.
62
with a 3-year-old. He's looking at things in the natural. But what I believe what has happened is, you can think when you're in ministry. You can think you're all that in a bag of chips. You got it, right? Like, you're it. And you forget that sometimes we get complacent in ministry. And we think God's blessing is on us because I keep going to the temple. I'm going to the temple and I'm doing the Lord's work. And his favor must be on me. But, after a while, it can become just ritual. It can become rote, right? And that's a bad place to be. Rote repetition, religious ritual. So the wow moment for Zach reveals a problem. When God breaks in your life in a personal way, his presence just might reveal a weakness. When light shines in the darkness, it exposes stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? All those years of waiting, getting discouraged, seemed to have caused his faith to wane. Okay? The problem is lack of faith, a lack of trust in the God of the impossible. When Mary says, "Wow, God, you can do the impossible," that's her conclusion, right? Nothing will be impossible with God. That's what she says. You know, women in Luke's gospel are amazing. They really do well. They're always elevated above the men. Okay? Because I think they're in this society, they're neglected. And they're second-class citizens. And the whole story, you know, Jesus comes in. And women look better than men. And here, Mary's got a lot more faith than Zach, who's working for God. She's just a humble servant, probably teenager. And the angel shows up, the exact same angel. Mm-hmm. Totally different response. Mm-hmm. Faith in God. Yes.
Can I ask a question? And I don't. How is this different? I know it is, but how is this different from Mary, who said, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin," and Zachary is old, and he says, "Well, how can I be sure this will happen?" Is there difference? Well, I'll just ask you that question. How is it different? Because Mary's not punished.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's the question of the ages. However, his question is, "How shall I know this for certain?" Well, an angel of God shows up and just tells you. That should be enough. I mean, the angel standing before you. Literally, God said. A man of God should know when God speaks, he's going to do it. The word of the Lord never returns void. Okay? So he should know that. Mary, this young virgin, I mean, logically, you know virgins can't have kids. Okay? Nothing. This has to be a miracle. And this has all kinds of ramifications, right? If she becomes pregnant, you know all that.
So she's not doubting God.
She's not doubting God.
She's just asking how.
She's asking how.
Okay, all right.
And Zach is actually saying, "I need more."
Yeah, okay.
Like Gideon, okay? Like an angel shows up and says, "Oh, mighty man of valor," and you're hiding behind a wine press. Yeah,
right.
So he's calling forth who you are, and he doesn't believe it, and he says, "Give me more. I need more sign. I need more proof," right? She doesn't do that. She just wants an explanation of how he's going to do it. The Holy Spirit will come by. God's going to do it. And then her conclusion is, nothing's impossible with God. Okay? It's a different thing. And I thought about this. A lot of these characters through the Old Testament, they have an encounter with God, and they're never the same again, in a kind of negative way. You know, Jacob? Jacob had a problem with God, right? And God shows up, and he ends up wrestling with God. That's what his name means, Israel, wrestles with God. And he's never the same. He carries around that hip, right? Limping all the time. "Oh, that's when I wrestled with God. I shouldn't have done that." Right? And I think this is what's happening. And what comes about next is he's mute. Okay? He can't speak anymore. That's a problem. His wow moment's turned into a problem. So, just think this through. You got a mute husband. Okay. Now people see this as punishment. They're all standing outside. Okay. And he comes out of the temple. The angel says, verse 20, "Behold, you shall be silent, unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe." Mm-hmm. "You did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." He's guilty of unbelief. And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. That verse troubled me. "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with me upon me in favor to take away my disgrace." So she sees the faith. Somehow Zach communicated to her what the angel said. Wrote it out, or minded out, or whatever he did. And she goes, "Wow, that's cool. God has looked with favor on me, and he's taken away my disgrace." Before it even happens, you see the difference in her confession?
Yeah.
Okay? "He's taken away my disgrace. I need more proof." Which honors God more? Okay? So that's what's going on. And when he comes out, everybody's going, "Oh, Zach, what did you do? You must have really messed up in there not to be able to say anything." And so, guess what happens? His wow moment, that wow, God is in this place, Then he goes outside and people remind him, you're Zach, aren't you? Something must have happened to you, Zach, while you were in there. You know, you think you're all that in a bag of chips and you're so great because you're chosen to work in the temple this time. And he comes out and people are like, uh-oh, that doesn't look so good. He went in there shouting and praising God. He's coming out mute, right? And this is what's happening. And people are going, so he may have announced, well, the announcement is that they're going to have a child, but now the disgrace goes from her to him. Mm-hmm. Not a good scene. I don't know why Elizabeth hid for 5 months. I don't want to read too much into it, but I just wonder if they were separated for 5 months, if she went somewhere else for 5 months. Well, a 60-year-old woman with a baby, with freshly, I think it's going to be pretty hard. Maybe she went home. Maybe she went to a relative to look after, but it would have been really tough for the two of them, for a 60-year-old woman, and let's just say a 60-year-old man, to have to deal with a pregnant wife. And you can't say anything. Communication, some even believe it was mute, because when he finally, he writes on a tablet, so he can't even he has to hear. Can he hear? Some have said he's not only mute, he's deaf. Okay, because he has to act everything out. It's almost like using sign language. And they're using sign language with him. So that's why some say he was not just mute, he was deaf also. Anyway, think of how tough this life would be. Would you want to do that? Now you're pregnant, 60 years old, your body's changing, as if it wasn't already changing enough at 60 years old. And here we are. This wow moment turns into a big trial. You get the picture, right? The wow moment they had, possibly been craving, it's not perfect. Trials are still there. Yeah. It doesn't go away. Yeah, okay. Right. How are they going to respond? What were those 9 months like for them as a couple living, aged spouse and their respective physical challenges? They persevered, but I'm sure it wasn't easy. There was a perseverance because they had a word of the Lord. However, the story gets good. And it gets good for Liz first. And I find that interesting. That let's look at Liz's, I call this the wonder and worship. You have your whys. You have your wows, but the whys really don't change. The problem hasn't gone away yet. And then all of a sudden, for 9 months, you have this, and think about it, it's this gestation period for two individuals who are about to be birthed, and literally new birth, okay? There's a new revelation of who God is. There's a new revelation and a new, actually they're filled with the Spirit, which means something inside has taken place. And we all go through this gestation period. You know, they're born again, okay? Are you with me? I think this is their born again experience where they encounter God. So Liz, 6 months into her pregnancy, okay, 6 months. She's gone for 5 months. She comes back possibly and now is reunited with Zacharias. And here we get this incredible opportunity, verse 41. It came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. Mary leaves and goes to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house. Okay, she leaves the city of Judah, and she goes to see them. They're probably living in Jerusalem,
near the temple.
And it came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, God has not just showed up. God has taken residence. God has gone inside her.
Okay? Yes.
That's huge. This is huge. Elizabeth gets it first, gets him first. She cried out with a loud voice, said, "Blessed among women are you, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She gets revelation that that child is Lord. Okay, she heard Mary's testimony probably of how the angel of God, the angel came and said, "You shall carry Emmanuel." Now, she gets this revelation. And she's filled with the Holy Spirit, gets to meet the Savior of the world first. Okay? I think that's pretty cool. She has a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. She's never experienced Holy Spirit before.
Right.
This is her first encounter. And out of her mouth, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes, "My Lord is there, right there." That's cool. She She's the first to confess Jesus as Lord. She's the first to be filled with overwhelming joy. Okay? Behold, when the sound of your greeting, verse 44, reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Okay? The promise that she heard back, you will have joy and gladness, verse 14, she experiences it first. See what I mean? Luke does this a lot, friends. You got it. Blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So she's blessed. She got it. And Zach. Let's go back to Zach. 6 months. Okay? 6 months. And his wife Mary, or Elizabeth's on cloud nine. He's still experiencing, I can't talk yet. I don't know what she's getting all excited about. I don't know how she communicates. Can you imagine the communication? This communication between husband and wife isn't bad enough. Now they got this going on. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. At 9 months, her joy is infecting others, okay? The time had come for Elizabeth to give birth. Verse 57, she brought forth a son. Here it is. She brings forth a son. It's delivery time. Everybody's celebrating. Her joy is now everyone's joy. They're rejoicing. It came about that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They were going to call him Zacharias after his father. His mother had said, no, his name shall be John. Think about this. You're mute. You can't say a word. Your baby's born. You can't say a word. Not only that, now he's born, and I got to wait 8 days later before I can open my mouth. All the festivities, all the celebration, and he's still mute. Friends, this is quite the scenario. I think, like, Zach, he got it really tough. I'm glad I know Zach. Their story affects many people. Their testimony spreads around the world, even to us today. Okay? We look at this story and this is John the Baptist. You know, we understand, we can read the story, and we can see that, you know what, this is the forerunner to Jesus. He's going to announce the arrival of Messiah. Wow, this family is so blessed. But Zach is still under judgment when this happens. He's still under discipline from the Lord for his lack of faith. And the miracle child is born. The promise is realized. And Elizabeth has this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. And finally, Zach's moment comes. And it's quite a moment. He made it. He survived the 9-month ordeal. Right? And he learned this amazing lesson. Now, what happened in those 9 months, friend? I asked myself, what happened in those 9 months? Did he just sit in a corner and feel sorry for himself? He was a praying man. He was a righteous man. He was a blameless man. He probably still served in the temple when his number came up, right? When his time came up. But something happened in that wow moment when he's mute. And they didn't have Bibles back then. You just can go and look up the Bible, you know, and read chunks of the Bible and get to know God. He had to spend time on his face before the Lord for 9 months. It's just me and God. I can't even really communicate with my wife. So I'm going to communicate with God. Because what happens, what his wonder and worship moment is incredible, okay? Because he gets, in those 9 months, he gets a revelation of God's plan from the beginning of time all the way back from the promise of Abraham to the fulfillment in Christ.
Yes. Okay?
That's what happens to him. Friends, it's the best 9 months of his life.
Right.
Okay? That's what we need to get from this. Okay. That even in your tough times, God wants to reveal something to you.
Yep.
He wants to take you deeper into him. He wants to show you things about himself that maybe he doesn't show anybody else. Okay? The promise is going to be fulfilled. And he gives that to Zach. And it's incredible. And I'll just read it to you. So he gets the name. His moment he writes his son's name, he's loosed. His tongue is loose. His mouth is open. And he begins to speak. And what's the first thing he says? He praises God. He began to speak in praise of God. And I think this is the crescendo moment. This is the new birth experience for Zach when he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he professes, he utters this incredible prophecy about God's plan of salvation. Okay, and let's just, we'll quickly go. This is not the heart of the message, but I want to look at this real quick. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So he's a priest. We're never told he's a prophet. In those 9 months, he becomes a prophet. He has a promotion to declare the word of the Lord. He has visited, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and raised up a horn of salvation, or literally a mighty Savior. Okay, that's what the Hebrew can say. A mighty Savior in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our Father, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham. I will bless you and I'll bless your descendants after you. I'll give you the land, right? So this promise, what happens is he's wrapped up into the Christmas moment. And he realizes this is God's answer to prayer way back 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, God is doing it right now. And he had that revelation only because he went through the trial of the 9 months. Okay? Listen, if you get nothing out of this, here's the heart of it. You think you're suffering, and you think God is not there. But listen, God is in the midst. And if you just sit and listen and keep your mouth shut, you will hear God and reveal. He will reveal stuff to you. Okay? Friends, we cannot be complainers. We cannot be grumblers. We cannot spend our time saying, why? Okay? And when God shows up, we need to realize that, listen, it's more important, and I say this all the time, but it's so true, and I hang on to it. It's more important what God does in me than what he does for me.
Okay? Right.
Because I'm being conformed to the image of Christ, going from glory to glory, and that's Zach's moment. And in that moment, he gets this incredible revelation, the best 9 months of his life, because in those 9 months, he got closer to God, and he possibly read the scriptures or meditated on what he'd heard in the temple all the time, or the synagogue. And he says, he's come to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And then he talks about his child. The whole thing should be about his child, but it all becomes about God. It's not about me anymore. Most of this declaration is about God. Right? The shift is off his miracle child, and it's on God. And that's where it should be. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so, friends, you just got to meditate on Scripture, because this is all past tense. Yet none of this has happened for him yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. Salvation hasn't happened. The Jews are still in bondage, and they will be for a long time. Actually, they're still in bondage today. The enemies are still attacking them. They don't have freedom from their enemies. But Zach, somehow, through this encounter of not being able to speak, and can I say it again? You want to hear from God? Keep your mouth shut. There's a real message here. Okay? We do a lot of talking when we're in prayer. We need to do more listening. When you listen more than talk, you'll probably hear what God wants to say to you. Okay? Are you with me? Just saying. God wants to reveal incredible things. Redemption. He has visited us. He has accomplished redemption. He has raised up a mighty Savior who wasn't even there yet. So not only does he get this incredible prophetic revelation of what God wants to do in fulfillment of the promise he made to Abraham, he gets a look into the future when salvation will come and the Jews will be delivered. And this is probably the greatest reward I think Zach could experience, is to hear God's voice and to hear God's plan and to be a prophet who has, this is recorded for us. And we get to look back and see how Jesus has come and set the captives free. And we look to, we know, friends, if you're a Jew and you're living in Israel, and sadly they don't read this, text, because they're Jews, not Christians. But if you're going through what they're going through right now, with all these countries bombing them and attacking them, even in Jews in our own nation are being threatened, and you say, what is, I thought I was the chosen. I thought I was the, we were the people of God. What's going on? And you know what? They need this encounter. They need to have this encounter. Friends, when you're going through something, you need an encounter.
Yeah.
Your wise need to stop. You need to have the wow moment. And you need to get to that place of wonder and worship, like Zach and Liz. Okay? And that's the message. How do we get from why me, to God, you're awesome. You want to do all this? I can't believe it. And I bring up Steve and Carla for a reason. I passed their photograph around. So we met with them on Tuesday. And their story is very close to ours. We are so like-minded. Okay? If you look in the back of the car, they even say they want to advance the kingdom of God. They're going out in the streets advancing. That's our motto too. God has knit us together. And so they're both past the age of childbearing. Okay? They're in their 40s. And yet, they persevered, and they persevered, and they believed the words that were spoken over them, and God gave them a child in their 40s. Okay? That's only half the story. 20 years ago, Steve felt a call to go to Guatemala and to minister. He just went with nothing, okay? And he went and trusted God. God started to unveil a vision when he got there. And you know, he led him to marry his wife. That was divine. This couple's amazing. And they go out in the streets. They're really a godly couple who minister together. And through the years, God has built this ministry called House of Refuge. And way back, 20 years ago, God had put in Steve's heart to have a city of refuge where the people on the streets that they minister to could become taken off of the street. The drug users and the prostitutes and the drunkards could go off of the streets into this place called City of Refuge. Friends, they broke ground, and their first building has the foundation in 20 years later. 20 years later, okay?
The building's almost complete.
The first building. It's a multi-building complex. But in that process, when at one point we were the only ones supporting them.
Wow, right.
Okay? Now God has opened up this beautiful relationship with so many churches.
Yes. Yes.
And usually all through the, you know, the Midwest of Canada, Saskatchewan. And so he wrote a book called Trusting God's Timing. Here's the caption: Standing in Faith While You Wait. Okay? That's the title of the book. And I thought, this Zach and Liz story, it's their story, it's our stories. Many of us here, probably most of us have, listen, we have things God has put in our heart. Okay? We have ministries, we have promises from God. You know, when Heidi shared about her granddaughter, that's remarkable. Friends, we prayed.
Yeah.
She believed. They believed.
Yeah.
They kept pursuing. They kept claiming and believing that God is going to do it. And God is doing it. You know, it took the death of her daughter, and then things started to turn around.
Right.
Even Lydia, you have this incredible, you know, God's really blossoming that relationship. Friends, out of adversity, out of difficult times, even though we go through it, even though we have these wow moments and God is awesome, there's still, you know, a refining, a pruning that he's doing in us. And in that, we need to look for God in the midst of it. We cannot close our eyes to the promise. We cannot not say, God, you've abandoned me. Where are you? Because he never leaves or forsakes, right? So we've got to hang on to these things. So really, what did I title this thing anyway? Hope and Despair, Waiting for the Promise. This sermon, if it's anything else, okay, I don't care where you're at. You could be expecting that miracle job, that breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. What are you doing while you wait? What are you doing while... Let me read you the titles of these chapters real quick, just to give you an idea. You can order this book. Faithfulness is your launch pad to success. Okay? Are you remaining faithful in the long haul? Standing through the test of time. Hardships come to make us stronger. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Zach is never the same. He would not have the revelation he has now if he did not go through the trial he went through. Okay? They come to make us stronger. In the middle of our calling to greatness, to whatever it is, he says, are we still willing to serve? While we wait for the realization of our promise, are we willing to serve? And the importance of friendship. See, really, this, I read this even this morning in one of my devotionals. The importance of having people who speak life over you,
yes,
who continue to declare, keep going, don't look at your circumstances. Okay? It's very important. And never stop seeking the Lord in the middle of your trial. They were people of prayer, right? Zach and Liz, they prayed, they believed, and they kept on praying. And for those 9 months, I really believe Zach pressed into the Lord. And here's something. He says, God's way, not our way. Okay? We shouldn't be telling God how to do what he needs to do. But often we get to that place where, you know, God, if I was you, like, I'd be answering this prayer like this. You don't want to do that.
Sorry,
don't do that. We don't want to tell God what to do. Because he never wastes his time. He's always working, even when we don't think he's working.
Right.
Okay? Lastly, he says, wait for God's direction. Don't move without God. I don't know how long I preached, probably a long time, but I just found their story so inspiring because it really parallels what a lot of us go through. And I want to encourage you, keep going, keep persevering. And this is really cool because, you know, we've heard like 3-4 testimonies from people who are older than us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're discovering perseverance in their journey.
Yeah.
It's not fun getting old. And I don't want to be 89 or 90. It's not really, if that's what I hear. But, you know, in that process, God is going to meet us. He's going to take us deeper. And I think the whole message is, let's hang on to the promise. Let's keep persevering no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
Just like Liz and Zach. It might not look pretty. People might call you out. But, hey, keep going. And I get really inspired by Janice. I shared with you her text she sent. And just a woman of faith, a woman of peace, really believing God, and choosing to make the tough choice, not to follow the world's way of handling the cancer, I don't want to name it, but the thing that came in her life, but to follow the way the Lord was leading her, right? And so, let's listen to the Lord. Let's follow him, let's lean on him, and let's press in. And you know what? The thing is, when we get these incredible revelations from God, we need to share. We need to encourage one another. And this story is, it's our story, and we need to be encouraged by what God has done others he will do for us. Amen? Let's pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us with faith. We don't want our faith to wane in difficult times. We want more faith. We want to hang on to your promises. We want to believe your word, Lord. We want to believe it so much that we're able to confess the outcome that you have put in our heart. Lord, even when we don't see it, faith is believing what we do not see, being certain of what we hope for. We want to be people of faith because you reward those who diligently seek you. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. So fill us with faith with this story, Lord, with the Christmas story. Use ordinary people to do your work. You're not looking for superstars or super talented, or you're looking for available vessels. May we be that for you, Lord. We give you glory that you even choose us in the first place. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.